right. Hey, family. Welcome to the Daughter Podcast, a place that is all about the total woman. Okay. My name is Samantha Grimes. I am a wife. I am a mom of two. I am a senior pastor. I am a certified life strategist, prophetess, and founder of Daughter LLC, which is a private practice, women's ministry, and movement that offers a wide variety of services such as coaching, counseling, products, books, and above all, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to his daughters. If you are interested in a free consultation to answer any questions or to get a quote, or you want to go ahead and book a one-on-one session, a group service, or anything we have to offer, please feel free to, number one, visit our website at daughterllc.com, or you can email us directly at samantha.grimescc@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok at daughterhsv. Also, if you would like to book me for a ministry engagement, you can also email me at samantha.grimescc@gmail.com, or you can head to Instagram. Our Instagram is at daughterhsv, and click the ministry request form that's in the link tree in our bio. Family, this is number 3 of 4. Okay, of me going through this recording. You guys know we go through so many before we get to the final edited version that all of you get a chance to hear and listen to. But we have already prayed off camera. And family, we are still in our season theme, The Power of a Woman. Side note, last week we had our interview with Apostle Angela Smith. It was a powerful, powerful, powerful time in the Lord. And if you have not checked that out, please go back and check that out. It was so, so good. But also, today's topic is a special one, a very special one. Also, please forgive me for these blinds. I'm trying to adjust our lighting, you guys. And you know, when the sun starts to set a little bit, you get them streaks. But we bless God. We bless God anyway. But the topic for today is the power of beauty. The power of beauty. To be honest with you guys, I don't understand how I don't hear about this more often, especially because we're women, y'all. We are women. I would think I've seen more sermons on this, more conversations about this, because this is so special to the Lord. But we're going to get into it, and hopefully this will be the beginning of some of that, all right? But I want to start by reading to you a little bit of Esther chapter 2. Many of you know about Esther, right? Very famous story. And it reads, "But after Xerxes' anger had subsided, he began thinking about Vashti and what she had done and the decree he had made. So this personal attendant suggested, 'Let us search the empire to find beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint agents in each province to bring these beautiful young women into the royal harem at the fortress of Susa. Haggai, the king's eunuch in charge of the harem, will see that they are all given beauty treatments. After that, the young woman who pleases the king will be made queen instead of Vashti.' This advice was very appealing to the king, so he put the plan into effect. At the time, there was a Jewish man in the fortress of Susa whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair. He was from the tribe of Benjamin and was a descendant of Kish and Shimei." We're going to skip down to verse 7. "This man had a very beautiful and lovely young cousin, Hadassah, who was called Esther. When her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her into his family and raised her as his own daughter. As a result, the king's decree, Esther, along with many other young women, was brought to the king's harem at the fortress of Susa and placed in Haggai's care. Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. He quickly ordered a special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments." I want to stop there. So, family, I wanted to read that because there were some specific things that popped out that I think will help us kind of intro into this conversation. If you look in the scriptures and you look at the story of Saul, okay, I'm not talking about Paul that was converted to Saul. I'm talking about Saul, Israel's first king before David. As many of you know, the backdrop of that story, every other nation had a human king except for the children of Israel. And they actually had it made. Having God himself as your king, wonderful, wonderful. But they got jealous and wanted what the other nations had. Sound familiar? And so begged God for a king. And so God not only gave him a king, but he gave him what they believed a king should be, which is probably completely opposite to what God knows a king should be. And he was what we call the people's choice. He was the tallest man. And he was at the time considered the most good looking. Also, the Bible highlights that when David, the person that is the rightful king and that would serve the Lord and what God would define as a good king, came into place, they made sure that you knew that David was also very good looking. When Daniel and Abednego, when that collective, because I feel like I'm missing two, but yeah, I know I am, but you guys know where I'm going. If you don't, check the Bible. Okay. When they were looking for young servants from understand that Daniel was in a besieged nation, meaning that nation and his nation got in a battle. Their nation was against God at the time. And so God did not intervene for them and they lost. And now they were enslaved to this nation. It was a wicked nation, a nation that was ruled by witchcraft. And when they were looking for servants for the king, one of the indicators, they had to be skillful, they had to be smart, they had to be excellent, and they also had to be handsome looking. See a trend happening here? Three different male kings and leaders, right? One was a prophet, which is Daniel, but both kings. And now we get to Esther. We will find beautiful young virgins. Mordecai had a niece who was very beautiful, right? He got favor upon her life, brought into the harem. Why is beauty brought up seemingly? Because we'll say, what does being good looking have to do with being a king? What does being fine have to do with being a queen? What does any of those things have to do with anything? They have to do with everything. Okay. I want to start here. First point, if you're taking notes on this, beauty is sacred. There are certain things about our design as humans that are sacred and that are holy and should not be messed with. A person's gender is sacred. That's why, if you disagree with this, I'm so sorry, please feel free to log off. But a person's gender is sacred. Telling someone that they can change their gender is insane. Okay. And many people who have gone through many surgeries, many drugs, and even physically look like the opposite sex says, no matter what I did, at the end of the day, I am still my original gender. I still feel it on the inside of me because you are a woman down to your chromosomes. You are a man down to your bone marrow. I could dig up your skeleton. Test your skeleton and find out what gender you are, because your gender is so much deeper, right? Being a woman and being a man is a spiritual office, right? Your race is sacred. These are things my husband's actually have said recently. It was bless my life. But your race is sacred, family. Okay. We're not supposed to worship our race, but understand it is sacred. It is as much a part of your assignment as all the other things, okay? Baby, you're supposed to be black, okay? Even if you mixed up, you're black, you're white, you're whatever, you know what I mean? We're all really the human race, but the distinction of your race, it is sacred. You could not have given that to yourself. You can't go and bleach your skin and become somebody else, okay? You are still whatever God says that you are. Certain things are sacred. Y'all, beauty is sacred and it is holy. And it is, y'all could cry. It is so important to the Lord. It is so important to the Lord. Why? Y'all, I think this conversation is not had enough in the church because I think people fear being vain. Right? We have the enemy has perverted what humility really means and look like. And so we have a lot of what we call false humility. And false humility will cause you to be your own God, your own judge, your own accuser, right? And it'll try to get you to watch over what God is only anointed to watch over. right? And so let me watch over and make sure I don't become too vain by denying or ignoring or not loving what God has given me, right? I want to read to you the definition of beauty. Beauty, by definition, is the subjective quality of anything that gives intense pleasure or deep satisfaction to the mind, often arising from sensory manifestations like shape, color, or sound, or from a meaningful design, pattern, or inner spiritual qualities. So family, I love looking up words, because just how confidence, the word feeling, is not one time mentioned in the definition of confidence, meaning confidence is not a feeling, it is a decision and a choice to have a certain disposition, okay? Beauty, you see that there was no specifics around skin color or hair texture or height or weight or geographical location. In all of the scriptures that he talks about, the only person that got a little bit of a description was Jesus, okay? But everybody else were very, very attractive, very beautiful, very good looking. And you can just imagine what they look like. But what you would imagine would always be a reflection of what you subjectively think is beautiful. Y'all, I'm gonna say something you may not like, but everybody in the world is beautiful. But everybody in the world may not be beautiful to you. But everybody is fine. Everybody is beautiful. Everybody is attractive. Everybody is special. Everybody is enough, because everybody is made in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. Okay? They may not be your cup of tea, all right? But everybody is beautiful. Okay? Beauty is important to God. It is holy. It is sacred. It is something you cannot lead without. It is something you cannot leave without. If we really dig into the story of Esther, I know we talk about it like it is the beauty queen story, but in actuality, Esther was a world political leader, family. Okay? And God was ushering her into something that she could not do ugly. And what I mean by ugly is I'm not talking about a weird nose or the lips too big or whatever you think ugly is. I'm talking about a heart, spiritual qualities, and I am talking about how she is perceived by the right people. Okay? God, it wasn't that Esther was more beautiful than all the women in the harem. It was an anointing God placed upon her life that caused people to see her, and not just anybody, but the right people, to see her the way they needed to see her, to put her in her position. Beauty was the tool that God used in this story, just like God may have used wisdom as a tool in another story, okay? But the goal here was that, oh no, she's going to become a world leader, and she is going to be used to indoctrinate this wicked nation with kingdom Jewish at the time beliefs. If y'all look at the historical context behind Esther, Esther was living in a nation that was not inherently hers. Meaning, what do I mean by besieged? I shared it earlier. It means two nations got into a fight. The one that lost had to become a slave to the other. So now they had to leave their homeland, all their cattle, all the, and now live in this nation as and become a part of this empire and be reduced in rank and in value. That's the punishment for losing the battle. Okay. So she, if you keep reading the story, Esther is not one of them. She's of a different race. She had to keep that hidden until she was released to share that information, right? And so now this person of a different nation is being used as a political leader to indoctrinate an entire nation that was once wicked with now Jewish beliefs, Jewish customs, Jewish ways, all because this man is in love with her. And he's so in love with her, he says, baby, what do you want, even if it's up to half of my kingdom? He's not dealing with her as a lesser individual. He's dealing with her not only as an equal, yes, as a complete equal. Half the kingdom, that's equality. It's my daughter, y'all. That's equality. And so why am I sharing all of this? Is because beauty was the tool that God used that brought her into this family. With love, It is holy to be beautiful. It is holy to want to be beautiful. It is holy to feel beautiful, y'all. Some of us don't even want to have these type of conversations with the Lord about how you feel and your self-esteem and your identity. And you don't want to talk about this kind of thing because you feel like God doesn't dwell with that. But this is a big deal to him. Y'all, when I had my son, and I'm specifically saying my son, not my daughter. Why am I saying my son? Because my daughter, of course, I thought she was beautiful. She's my little girl. But when I had my son, we think I'm supposed to think something different. But when I looked at him, I said, oh my God, this little boy is so beautiful. Because beauty is something that we all possess, man and woman. Beauty is something that we all carry of God. And it is something that he used. There is a glory that God can only get from your beauty. Okay? I have to set up all this foundation for you guys. There is a glory that God can only get from your beauty. Family, I want to break it down on an even lower fundamental. Okay? Y'all, anybody that watches me or been around me a long time, I wear my hair a lot. Okay. What I mean by my hair is I wear my natural hair. I do fake hair every blue moon, but I often wear my real hair. There is a glory on my hair. I know, like, I'm talking about some very things that we say, oh, that's low level. That's not very deep. That's not very spiritual. We need to talk about something a little bit more profound. Let's talk about realms and doors and all of that has its place. But y'all got to understand this too. God loves you too much for these things to be minute. And now you'd only focus on the deep and the profound and the supernatural. To God, this is also deep and profound and supernatural. And if you do not have a healthy grasp on this, it's going to affect what is time for you to do that. Okay? There is a glory on my hair because it is the hair God gave me. There is a specific kind of beauty that is attached to it, that is only attached to it. There is a type of beauty that is attached to my face that is only attached to it. There is a beauty on how I'm built. There is a beauty on my voice. There is a beauty in the crookedness of my teeth. There is a there is a glory that God wants to get fully out of our lives. We don't get to tell him, God, you can only get glory out of certain aspects of our lives. And because we don't have a perspective that beauty is subjective, beauty is sacred, and beauty is holy, we are trying to make our beauty fit like a peg in a square hole, on a round hole, I mean. It won't connect. It won't work. It won't fit. Right. And so there's a reflection of God's glory that is in our beauty. It is holy, it is sacred, and it is special, and it is to be enjoyed, right? This is not a permission to let me go be vain, let me go be obsessive, but it is a permission to enjoy and to receive that whatever God gave you, it is holy and it is good. It is not lesser. Family, beauty is subjective. You may not fit into somebody's definition of beauty, and that will never make you ugly. That will never not make you enough. You just don't fit into somebody's limited perspective of beauty. Understand, sometimes, y'all, our perspective of beauty isn't directly in alignment with our traumas. There is a way that you have been traumatized that you don't even realize you've been traumatized. And so now, not only do you not look at yourself the right way, but you look at other people through that same lens. And so now if they don't fit this stereotype or this box, or I see this imperfection or whatever, then now I don't see you as good looking. You ever saw a couple? Like a man and a woman together, and you looked at the man and you can't figure out how the man pulled that woman, or you looked at the woman and you can't figure out how that woman picked that man, it's because of your lens. There is a way that you see beauty that most of the time is in alignment with God. I think we all need deliverance, that says only one thing is worthy. And that's not how God perceives and defines and reflects beauty. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit, right? If we come into under the agreement of God seeing, of God and saying, okay, I now see beauty as sacred. and holy and good. And God, I want to see beauty the way you see it. I want to perceive it the way you perceive it. I want to see myself and others through that lens. I guarantee you, if you let God flush you out, cleanse you, and give you his vantage point, you would see and perceive the magnitude of things you've never picked up on before. Right? Y'all, imperfection is a part of beauty. And we live in a society that goes to war with that and says the more imperfect that you are, okay, the further you are away from beauty. But I'm saying God is too good for that. You have to have this base lens. God loves me too much for fill in the blank. He adores you too much, fill in the blank. Even the way we age, there is a beauty in how we age. There is a beauty in how we change and how we do. All of these things are beautiful because he decides. And for him to give you something that is not beautiful would war against who he is. It would war against his goodness. It would war against so many different things about God. The two will begin to contradict each other. And God is not a contradiction. You see what I'm saying? And so what we're battling with is not God's view of beauty. It is ours. And it's ours because we have not adopted God's. We have adopted the world's. My looks need to fit what is currently relevant and trendy. You want to know what's going to cause a beautiful woman to have surgery and to cause her to fix or add or now get a fake butt and fake cheeks and all of that kind of stuff and fake look? Because she is her definition of beauty is not the Lord's. It is somebody else's. So understand, beauty is good to God. It is holy and it is sacred. Even the Bible says that beauty is fleeting. That scripture does not say beauty dies. It says beauty is fleeting. And that term fleeting means beauty changes. So no, you're not going to look at 72 the way you looked at 17, but you'll never wake up one day and be ugly. Because God would have to at some point in your creation, put a little bit of ugly in you and say, okay, around 72, it's going to pop out. No, you're going to be beautiful for the rest of your life. But will you look the same? No, you won't. Beauty is sacred. Beauty is good. Beauty is holy. I'm trying to drum this into your mind. Beauty is sacred. Beauty is good. Beauty is holy. Ask the Holy Spirit to keep your heart from becoming vain, but do not spit on what God has called good, family. Y'all, because beauty was created by God, we don't have the right to tell God that he's wrong. Like, God, you're wrong. This is not beautiful. And listen, I want to be sensitive to that. If you're listening to this and you don't feel very beautiful, you don't feel very attractive, you don't feel very all of the things, then now is this opportunity to surrender that to the Lord and say, Lord, give me your eyes. Help me to see what you see and feel how you feel. And give him the opportunity to create the change. So I want to start there. Beauty is sacred. I also want to say this. Beauty is purposeful. Okay. God did not make you beautiful just because he enjoys beauty, which he does. But there isn't a purpose attached to your beauty, which means you have to look however you look for who you are called and destined to be. You have to. Okay. All right. I was looking up the other day about genes and the family lines and things like that. And there are no specific guarantees you're going to look like any one person in your family. Okay? It is literally, according to science, it is an accumulation completely at random about how you look. Now, that's not at random with God. Okay, God literally just said, I need her, I need him to look just like this for what I have purposed him for. I want to say this, there are some things that you have been through surrounding your beauty because of who you're called to be. There is something you're going to reflect. There may be something you're called to change in society and in the way that we think and operate that can only come through your reflection. There is a way that people are only going to be able to receive you by you looking like you. Beauty has such purpose. Beauty has such purpose. And I want to also point here, when we have the conversation around beauty, I want you to understand that beauty is powerful, okay? And it is important that you use your beauty for good and not for evil, okay? There's a lot of stigmas, you guys, around women. And it's the stereotype that, you know, the enemy wants to keep men prideful and he wants to keep women manipulative. Let me use my beauty to manipulate you. Let me use my beauty to get what I want. There are a lot of even trends I'm seeing on TikTok, and it's very Jezebelic, incredibly Jezebelic, right? Using your beauty for evil, using it in a manipulative and in a twisted way to get what you want. And then you're deeply offended when it doesn't work because now does that mean, oh my goodness, have I lost my beauty? No, it just didn't work this time around. It's important that we understand that what we have is so powerful as women, the beauty that God has given us individually, and it is sacred and it is holy and it is lethal. It's a lot like sex, okay? Sex is so good and holy to the Lord and sacred and powerful. It's so powerful, in fact, that the only thing created to contain it is the institution of marriage. And so when you have sex outside of marriage, right, it opens you up to so many different things that you didn't mean to be opened up to because sex is so powerful. It's good, but it is powerful in the wrong hands type of thing, you know? And so with that perspective, I think it's important to understand beauty is a lot like that. It is beautiful and it's meant to be enjoyed and thrived and danced in. But again, we have an enemy that wants to pervert and he wants you to come into agreement with that perversion and now use that beauty for evil. Use that beauty to get things. Use that beauty to hurt people. Use that beauty to make other people feel less than or small or insecure or not sure. So family, it is so important, ladies. Use your beauty for good. A lot of times we do stuff carelessly because we don't understand the weight and the gravity of what we have. It's like leadership. Like a person can be however they want to be, okay? And they may hurt their leader and it's wrong and God is not pleased. But if your leader snaps back, it's probably going to be hurt 10 times more than you ever hurting them. Because it's the weight of their voice in your life. They're your leader. So it hurts differently. Right? Sometimes we're careless with things, so we don't understand the weight and the responsibility of it, right? Beauty is purposeful. There is a purpose attached to it. We see that in the life of Esther, okay? Her beauty was intended to bring her into queenship. Her beauty was intended to bring her into a position so that she can change laws, right? And cause the kingdom of God to come into her country. But what if she used that beauty to be selfish? What if she used that beauty just to get herself in a high position and let all of her people die? Now, listen, the Lord is good, okay? If she did not yield, God would have raised up somebody else and they would have done it. But the blood still would have been on her hands, right? It still would have been a negative experience for her. I think it's also understanding that beauty is worthy of stewardship, family. Beauty is worthy of stewardship, okay? What do I mean by worthy of stewardship? Family, I'm not gonna say any names, okay? Because I honor. But I have been in communities and been places, especially in the faith, not everywhere, but certain places. And again, because of the fear of vanity, you are not taking care of yourself the way that you should. The lack of hair care, the lack of beauty, the lack of makeup, the lack of clothes, the lack of whatever. And I'm not saying be ultra glamorous, right? But again, I think there's just such a lie out here around the conversation of beauty, and women just don't want to be fake and don't want to be vain and don't want to put their identity in what adorns them. Then don't. But nobody said you had to stop being adorned. Somebody ever said you had to stop wearing jewelry or clothes. There is such a fear of being like the world that we're not actually letting the Lord convict you and help you stay in a particular posture. You are taking that job upon yourself. You see what I'm saying? But again, we're supposed to enjoy our beauty. We're supposed to enjoy our beauty. We're supposed to enjoy our beauty. It is a gift and it is a blessing that has purpose and it is worthy of stewardship. I cannot tell God I am grateful for something that I'm not going to steward. I'm not going to take care of. I'm going to deny. Every time I do my hair, wash my face, brush my teeth, I am giving honor and glory to God for what he has given me. Okay, you cannot, quote from my husband, you cannot honor the painting, ain't honor the painter without, I feel like I'm saying it wrong. You cannot honor the painting without honoring the painter. Okay, every time I love on myself, I get dressed, I take care of myself, I carry myself in a particular way, I am giving worship and glory and honor to the Father every single time. There is a glory that he can now get out of my life because I'm in agreement with what he has called good. Family, you cannot think you can run out the house and put anything on you want. You cannot think that you can go out the house and you don't want to do your head. You cannot think that you can go out the house and you don't groom yourself and that God is pleased and that you are humble. That is prideful and that's fearful. It is not the stewardship. I have to live my life in agreement with God. Okay? So if God calls our beauty good, if God made it his business to make you beautiful, how dare I go against that by not stewarding what he has given me? Without loving what he has given me. Without stewarding what he has given me. Without loving what he has given me. So these are my points, you guys. Beauty is sacred. Beauty is purposeful. Beauty is worthy of stewardship. Is worthy of your attention. Okay, is worthy of your heart. It is, we're not worshiping it, but we are enjoying it. Okay? We are enjoying it. It is holy. It is righteous and it is good. I was watching a talk show forever ago, and they asked the question on the talk show, do you want to be sexy or do you want to be beautiful? And one of the women says, I'm so good. She said, I want to be beautiful because a woman that is beautiful is also sexy. And she's also many other things. But a woman that just wants to be sexy, that's all she can ever be. I thought, that's it. That, like, that is so, you know what I'm saying? Because one is 100% about how others, but the other is 100% about God. And just keeping it real, you guys, the one that gets the sun gets it all, that whole speech. The one who gets the sun gets it all. If I take on what God calls beautiful, I get everything that comes with it. But if I take it on in myself to what I can control, and I get the limitations of that. So, all right, family, that's all I have for you guys today. I'll see you guys next episode. Peace.